I have today Jill Johnson. She's back with me on the Unexpected Caregiver Radio Show. If you remember, Jill was on previous shows, and you can always go and download an MP3 and listen to the Unexpected Caregiver whenever you want, jogging, relaxing in the sun, and go to unexpectedcaregiver.com, click on the radio icon, and find the shows with Jill Johnson. Jill is the president and founder of Johnson Consulting Services, a management consulting firm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, specializing in market-based strategy development. She has nearly 30 years' experience in working with leading senior living industry providers throughout the United States, and she is an expert at conducting market studies, marketing audits, and turnaround studies, as well as strategic planning and developing strategies for growth. What this means to you, caregivers out there who are listening, is that she's the one that goes into these communities and says, aha, this is where you could improve, this is how I could see you turning this building around to become more up to the times and more amenable to the services that we are now demanding. Most exciting is that she is named one of 25 industry leaders by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal at their Women in Business Awards. And as a leader, I thought it appropriate for her to bring to our family and informal caregivers listening her insights into empowering seniors to make their own decisions. The title of the show today is Empowering Seniors to Make Their Own Decisions. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Kari. Glad to be back.
You're writing a book on decision-making.
Yes.
So that's how
this
all fits. What is this book?
The book is called Clarity Counts, The Power of Crystal Clear Decision Making.
Okay.
And essentially, as I've been working in the consulting field for almost 30 years, essentially what I do is help businesses and organizations make decisions. And as I became truly an unexpected caregiver in my family, bringing that skill set for decision making and strategy and planning into what we had to do to help the loved ones in our family live out the last days of their lives.
Okay, give our listeners a little hint about making decisions. Some tips, a few tips.
I think that with making decisions, the most important thing is to get very clear at the front end what your most important decision criterion are. What are your real goals for the decision? Is it to keep your loved ones safe, to keep them secure, to keep them happy, to keep them healthy, to bring vitality and other people into their lives? And if so, then all of the rest of the strategy on the how you do that will emanate from those key pieces.
Well, the emphasis is on how the goals are on how to keep them, sometimes I have caregivers say to me, well, I don't want to do that, or I don't like, but it's not about your wants at this point.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you're talking about.
That's the spin and the shift is, okay, instead of looking at it from your own perspective of, I don't have time, I don't want to be bothered, this is too hard, shifting it back to what is it we really need to provide and to ensure for our loved one, and then who are the best people to bring in to the mix to make that happen, or what other resources do we need to make that work? And, you know, it's hard when you're an adult child and you're doing all the time. And I did that for my mother because we were on an accelerated pace with her. But it was, I think, a very different perspective because we still needed other resources to loop in, to survive and to navigate and to try and deal with the complexities of all of the many pieces that were coming at us, especially when you've got healthcare issues.
Right.
That's so overwhelming.
Well, anytime you have pain.
Yes.
I think, too, is overwhelming because it's the fire.
It's the emotion and the physical pain.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right. And you have to get that fire out, so to speak. Okay, so one of the tips in making decisions is knowing the goal. What's another tip?
Planning ahead. I think everybody is really afraid as we're dealing with these complex family dynamics, complex health issues, they're afraid to bring up some of those end-of-life questions.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying end-of-life as in tomorrow are we going to pull the plug.
No.
But really looking at this last phase, whether it's a year or 5 years, what are the resources and how do we want to pull it together? I have a friend whose father is living in Texas, and they're in the throes of a major health crisis right now. And, you know, my role with her has been helping her understand what some of the terms mean. They're dealing with different housing settings, giving her suggestions on which properties to go look at, which communities, what questions to ask, because they waited too long and now they're in the middle of this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And you never make really good decisions when you're in a crisis.
No.
Because people are looking for the expedient not right. the best.
And that's why I named my book The Unexpected Caregiver, because in the book, The Unexpected Caregiver, I lay out planning yes. and ideas for how to. And by the way, you can always get that book at my website, unexpectedcaregiver.com, and it's at Amazon. It's all over. So it, but that's exactly why. The Unexpected Caregiver is written so you can plan.
And your book is terrific.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed reading it because it had such good detail and insight and things to make people think. And I think the best plans are really thoughtful because some options you're going to rule in and others you can immediately rule out. But the more you understand and educate yourself, especially for those of us who are baby boomers that are, you know, have parents that are just really maybe starting to get ready to need
right.
other support and care, I think that where you lose your ability to make a decision is when you do that hand-waving thing and say, well, I don't want to worry about it now. I don't want to think about it now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to budget for it now. And then all of a sudden, something happens and your loved one is lost in the shuffle, in the maze of the complexity of what you're facing. It's much easier if you can break it out and chunk it out when you're not in the throes of that grief, loss, emotion, mm-hmm. and they can then participate. And that's the other thing. I'm a really strong believer in people being involved in their own decision-making rather than...
Hence the name of this show.
Exactly.
Empowering seniors to make their own decisions. But before we dive into that, mm-hmm. I want to just back up. But your book isn't solely directed to seniors and caregiving. It's going to be a general book, right?
It's primarily about making... It's primarily more for business decision making,
gotcha.
But it clearly overlaps
sure.
into all of the other arenas.
Are you telling me that businesses have trouble making decisions, Jill?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So we family and informal caregivers are not the only ones?
Not at all.
No.
I mean, and even really exceptional executives sometimes get stuck.
What gets us stuck? Why don't we make decisions? And let me tell you what my youth pastor's wife told me when I was in high school, when I couldn't decide, you know, whether to go to this event or not.
Yes.
She said, to not decide
is a decision.
Right.
Yes.
And I would say, but what's the decision?
The lack of action.
Exactly.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And but you know, that happens. And I think sometimes it's because we're so emotionally invested in the status quo. And the same thing holds true in our family environment.
Okay, what do you mean? Say a little more about that. We're invested in the status quo.
The status quo of we like things as they are right now.
Even though if they're not great.
Exactly.
Because
it's the known.
Yes.
And anytime you're looking at making a change, which is what decisions often involve, there is the fear that it won't be better.
Yeah.
And so it's sometimes just very easy to limp along. And even in a business setting, oftentimes the point at which an organization actually takes an action is in the midst of a crisis. And so,
and again, then the best decision is not being made in the midst of that crisis.
Not necessarily, unless
right.
they bring in the right advisors and
gotcha.
Resources. And that's where, if you as a family are in the throes of a crisis, just as in a business, you bring in outside experts
right.
who don't have the emotional attachment
exactly.
and investment, who have deep expertise, insight, and wisdom, and judgment.
And that's where I've come in as a caregiver coach.
Exactly.
Is because they can't make these decisions because, you know, they're so wrapped up in their emotions with mom and dad, with siblings.
Oh, don't even get me started on all of that.
Exactly. Now we're going to circle back around.
Yes.
So the title of the show, Empowering Seniors
yes.
to Make Their Own Decisions.
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that as family? Because I understand, and this is where in the first intro in my book, too, I talk about parenting your parents, that I don't agree with that. They don't become our kids. And I think sometimes that can happen mm-hmm. with adult children. We feel like we have to take over and make decisions for mom and dad because they're old. Just because they're old.
Exactly.
And that's not true.
There's a level of disrespect
when
people do that. And I think we're in a much better position if we can have the conversation to say, you know, mom, I've noticed that this house is just really getting beyond what you can handle.
Right.
It's frankly beyond what we can handle because we have our own house to keep up and take
right.
care of. Are there any other options that we have that we should be starting to look at? I know you're pretty isolated here. You know, maybe it's time for us to start going to look at some senior living communities so that we can just kind of get some ideas of what other options might be that would be a lot more fun for you.
You're just trying to put me away.
Well, you know, not necessarily, because you're not ready to be put away yet. You still have a lot of life and vitality in you. You may be moving a little slower, but, you know, the house you're living in now was built 50 years ago for a family with young children.
Right.
And you need to be in an environment where the toilets are a little bit higher, the door handles are more accessible, where your walker can move through the doorway, where you're not struggling all the time. And we can find options where then we can come and be your family again, rather than being your unpaid help.
Your cleaning lady. Fix it people.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is really good, and I'm so excited that you're back here with us. We're going to talk more about your book and making decisions, and the title of the book, you've got it, right?
It's Clarity Counts, The Power of Crystal Clear Decision Making.
Clarity Counts, The Power of Clister. It's not out yet, though.
Not yet.
But we're going to bug you to get it out.
Please do.
Okay, good. And it's going to be something that family and informal caregivers can gain some insight in. We're already doing that today on this show. The title of our show, Empowering Seniors to Make Our Own Decisions. When we come back from a short break, I'm going to talk more with Jill about what the difference is when we actually let them step aside and let them make their own decisions. I'm Kari Barrett, and you're listening to the Unexpected Caregiver Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Choices abound at Northfield Retirement Community, with 8 unique living facilities offering a range of care from independent apartment setting to assisted living and nursing care. You'll appreciate the variety of housing and support services. In addition, Northfield Retirement Community provides unmatched on-site amenities, including a fitness and wellness center, cafe, chapel, theater, and more. For more information, call us at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
And welcome back to The Unexpected Caregiver. This is Kari Barrett, my guest today, Jill Johnson. Jill is soon to be the author of
Clarity Counts, The Power of Crystal Clear Decision Making.
Nice title.
Everybody, I'm getting that from everybody.
Well, who doesn't want to make crystal clear decisions?
Well, it takes a little work to make
them. Well, that's
them.
The deal.
That's the people want just the magic fast answer.
I know. I want the wand.
Yes, exactly.
But it doesn't exist. The wand doesn't.
It really doesn't.
Actually, the wand comes when you practice these things.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, when it's just like with good communication skills, mm-hmm. if you practice good communication skills, it just comes more easily. And there's the magic wand if you want one.
Well, and one of the key components I'm talking about in the book is the assumptions that we use. And this ties right into what we were talking about before the break.
Okay.
Family members just assume that their elder loved one isn't capable of making a decision.
I know that. Right.
Or, and that's usually not true at all. What really is at issue is nobody knows how to start the conversation.
Perfect. Yep.
And so, you know, I've often been the one, because in my line of work, I have to start hard conversations as a consultant. And so I'm the one in my family who often is the first one to say, in that very calm, quiet, private setting, have you given any thought to mm-hmm. your wishes or what you want, in a time and a place where there is no drama,
right?
Because then you can really have the detailed conversation. I've done it with my mother, my mother-in-law, my aunts. I have a cousin who I'm the healthcare director. I have the primary and the healthcare directive, you know, and he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
But we've had those conversations about what those experiences need to be, and I've had them with my own husband. I mean, we've really started to think about those pieces. And that's where you can look at, going back to the decision criterion, you know, what is the most important thing? Is it, you know, some people are really worried about, well, we want money to save for the inheritance.
Right.
But you know what? Frankly, in my opinion, that is really not the primary thing to be concerned about.
Mm-mm.
It's the safety, security, and happiness of your loved one that should be paramount for all members of the family. And you can use those objectives to redirect extended family members who have maybe other opinions. because by being really clear about what that is, you can say, you know what, we can't pay your mortgage. Mm-hmm. We're not going to pay off your Visa card.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get your own personal finances in order. The mm-hmm. money that's available here is to be used for the care and comfort of our elder family member. It's the money that they've saved through their lifetime, or the money that they've gotten from the sale of their home, that needs to be used to ensure that they're as safe as possible, and or get the care that they need, whether it's added home care services or whatnot.
So let's think of, let's play a little scenario. So, Mom, what happens? What have you seen? What are the differences when a senior actually makes their own decision or makes it with the adult children rather than the adult children just taking over? What have you seen happen to the older adult?
They're happier. Yeah. They don't get caught up in that anxiety and anger. This was done to me. And, you know, and I work in a lot, I work in senior living communities all across the country. And oftentimes I'll stay on the campus while I'm doing the work.
I love doing the same thing.
And what it allows me to do is to spend time with the people who live there.
Right.
And most of them, maybe they can't beat me in a race, but there are many of them, are their minds are just as sharp as tacks.
Right.
And the ones who are still looking at living life are the ones who have had control over the decision or significant influence in those decisions that were made about their next phase. The ones who are broiled up in anger and resentment, this was done to me, are very, very unhappy people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always sure that they would be happy if they were still in their own home. They would find something else to channel that negativity toward.
Sure.
But I think that the people who live that last act of life, if you will, most effectively and most happily are the people who make some decisions. And I had an aunt, my Aunt Gert, I just adore and miss her terribly, but she was having so many struggles, and her boys, who are all boomers too, you know, were coming every week, they were doing their groceries, they were vacuuming, and they were getting her food, and they were complaining an awful lot about it because they never got to just sit and be with her and spend time with her. They were trying to work those chores, if you will, into the setting. And as this was unfolding, as I was coming to visit her, because I knew she was having some health issues, I finally just one day said, Auntie Gert, you know, what do you really want for yourself in this next phase? And if we don't look at making some choices and decisions, I think the boys are going to make it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to make the best decision because they don't understand all of the types of senior living, what types of communities are there, where you would best fit, and what you really need. And so do you want it to be their decision, or do you want this to be yours?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want it to be yours, I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what Auntie Gert picked?
Yeah.
And, you know, so without, and we found the perfect place that was within her budget, and, you know, the boys helped her move, but she was enormously happy for the last 3 years of her life because it was all about her exerting control over her decision and her prospects, because somebody in her life finally believed that she was capable of doing it and then worked to support her in making it.
You mentioned, too, getting in touch with someone that can help you. I am going to be partnering with, and if you want more information on this, with a geriatric care manager.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth Foss is that person that can help you figure out what all these different buildings are about and see options that you have.
Because so many people just assume that senior living is a nursing home.
Is a senior living, exactly.
I just talked
home.
To a guy who's going to be speaking for an organization, and he was, he had just negative connotations about you know, nursing homes. I'm like, well, what are you really, you don't really understand the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's everything from, you know, 55 plus apartments and independents and services and assisted living.
And co-ops. And,
oh my
gosh.
Lord, There's an array of options, and then you have home care overlaid into it. And I think that what people or people will often say, well, it's too expensive.
Yes.
Well, it's much less expensive for you if you look at what can you budget for, how can you invest the monies that you're getting from maybe your Social Security or your pension, and then looking at the potential of spend down, perhaps from the sale of your home or the other assets that you have. And, you know, we were really able to with that decision and the planning process that we went through, you know, I involved my mother-in-law, even though she had advancing dementia.
I was just going to say, I want to get that dementia component
in
here too. But before I get that dementia component in, I wanted to say a way to empower seniors then, sometimes too, with women of the silent World War II generation didn't deal with the money as much.
Well,
and
yeah.
So you're also talking about another way to help empower them, because I know I've worked with a couple of women, especially, who say, I never dealt with the money, and now my kids are pushing me to do this. And it's, again, that third party maybe that comes in and says, well, let's look at your money. Objective, No emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm not inheriting any of it. Let's look at your money and see what your money can buy.
And can do for you. And that's the other part of it. And I think that it's, you know, I'm really good with money. So that was certainly a role I played in our mm-hmm. family as we were going through. And I'm really good at planning. But really taking those skill sets mm-hmm. and figuring out, okay, what are the options. Most people go, oh my gosh, it's so expensive. Well, really, if you look at what their income already is between the Social Security and the pension and any other interest that they may be earning or may earn once they sell their home, the actual additional out-of-pocket costs may not be as frightening as you're looking at, because depending on the type of senior community you're looking at, anywhere from 50 to 80 or 90% of the actual costs are usually covered by the monthly fees that are being charged. So again, understanding what's included mm-hmm. and what's not yeah. is all part of it. And you really want to start looking at those things as early on as possible. It's a long decision cycle. And it is not uncommon today for people to make multiple site visits before right. they make a visit or before they make a decision. And I encourage family, as do the marketing directors that I work with, encourage people to do that. You don't have to make your decision when you tour for the very first time.
Right.
So people hold off on even touring because they're afraid they're going to get pressure.
Or they're going to get drawn in.
Exactly.
Roped in. No.
Exactly.
You know, and that reminds me too, I did one of my favorite shows, and one that's requested often, and I know that people comment on it, is the assisted living show I did with Ask Nurse Tina, where she lays out how to, what the nurse, from a nurse's perspective, what are they going to ask you when you come in, mm-hmm. and what are they going to be looking for? And it's just a great show. You can download that at unexpectedcaregiver.com, click on the radio icon, and share that with your parents about, you know, kind of planning for that visit to the assisted living.
Exactly. And, you know, the big thing is we have to stop being afraid to talk about the problems and the challenges.
I know.
And that will allow the senior to begin to articulate what they want.
Well, and we see aging as a problem. That's one of our biggest challenges.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You and I don't, because we're in this industry. Mm-hmm. But most of the rest of the society is avoiding this whole thing.
Well, guess what? It's coming up on all of us.
Man, it is. It is. Okay, but before we wind up today, I want to make sure we hit this dementia piece. Because mm-hmm. I said, you know, I can just imagine some of the listeners out there saying, okay, this is all good and fine and dandy if you've got parents that have their mental capacities intact, but I've got a mother with dementia. How can I empower her to make decisions?
Well, you certainly don't want to wait until the very, very end of this dementia. You know, when my mother-in-law was first starting to show and exhibit the symptoms and signs, we were as clueless as everyone is. Mm-hmm. And then we all were in that fear stage, and Jen was in, you know, had a lot of fear and anxiety because she knew what she was losing. And there would be many, many nights when I would be just alone, it would be her and I, and I would talk to her about her fears and mm-hmm. assure her that no matter what happened, she would not walk through this journey alone. And I think for many seniors that are experiencing dementia, that is their fear, that they will just be abandoned. And so what I was able to do in those conversations, and of course, Jen understood my background. She'd mm-hmm. edited a lot of reports that I had done. So she understood that I understood the industry. But by reassuring her that we would make sure she was cared for mm-hmm. and that we would still remain with her, mm-hmm. then I was able to begin to start talking with her about what is important to you. Do you want family around? Mm-hmm. Do you want to, you know, I know you want to be in your own home as long as possible, but there was a point where she was falling too much and it just simply wasn't safe for her to be there any longer. And I remember one evening just having the conversation, and again, she was probably in the mid stage of dementia, but she was in a very lucid period. She may not have had all her words, but it was clear she understood. And I just said, Jen, I think we're at a point now where we need to move. Mm-hmm. And do you want me to help you to find the perfect place for you, just like I did for my Aunt Gert?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, I really do, because I trust you.
Because she made the decision.
Yes.
You didn't place her.
I will tell you honestly, I had been looking.
Sure.
I had information.
But you were doing your prep work.
I was doing the preparation work. I did not sign
anything.
Mm-hmm. And until Jen took the tour and I had a second conversation with her, Do you think you could live here? Mm-hmm. Because I've looked. This is the apartment. I think this is the perfect apartment. Here's why. Mm-hmm. I think this is the perfect in terms of services. Here's why. Of course, I talked to her daughter. We had others on board in the family about what we were looking at. But the true final yes, nothing was paid for until she said yes.
And obviously, if you're someone out there listening and your parent, loved one is in at the end stage dementia, Alzheimer's, you're in a different situation.
That's a totally different situation.
Excellent information today. And Jill, how can we check back with you to make sure this book comes out so we can get ahead?
You can check on my website, which is www.jcs-usa.com.
And I'll have that linked on my website, unexpectedcaregiver.com, too. Excellent material, and I know we'll have you back again, Jill. If you want to hear other shows with Jill Johnson, you can download them at my website, unexpectedcaregiver.com. Just find that cute radio icon, and you'll have all the listings of the Unexpected Caregiver shows. Thanks for joining me today on The Unexpected Caregiver. Thanks for joining me on the Unexpected Caregiver Radio Show. I'm Kari Barrett, and until next week, remember, if you're a caregiver, be smart, ask for help.
Won't you please, please help me, help me, help me.
You've been listening to The Unexpected Caregiver, brought to you each Thursday and again on Sunday by the Northfield Retirement Community.